Mark 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke. You guys hot? Wait, where's the ushies? Can you open one of the doors maybe till someone freezes over there? Mark 9. I can't find it. I'm just stalling. Mark 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude, this is Jesus Christ, about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. That's a cool picture, right? He comes and he sees these guys fighting about stuff and questioning his disciples, and then they see him and they come running towards him. And he asked the scribes, "What question you with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child, since he was a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He asked Jesus Christ, if you can do anything, if you can help me with my son, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And this was Jesus' answer. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst what? If thou canst believe. And if you don't remember anything else from this teaching, remember this next thing. All things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus Christ said, all things are possible. All things are capable of being done. It can happen. All the wonderful things of God that God has to offer are possible. If you'll find a unicorn horn and kill 7 dragons and develop yourself into a 57th rate black belt samurai warrior, right? Just think of it. All the wonderful things of God are possible for you because you can do what he said. You can what? You might not be able to find all the unicorn horns in the world. There's 7 if you want to know. And maybe 6 now. You might not be able to become a 27th rate black belt samurai, but you can believe. So all the wonderful things that God can do for a person are possible for you. You can have all the things that God can do for an individual's life. To believe means to think to be true, or to be persuaded, or to place confidence in, to have confidence in someone or something. And it's to be persuaded. And if you're persuaded, you've been influenced by something. How do you get persuaded? How do you get persuaded to buy a set of pots made by Martha Stewart? Something's convinced you, right? How have you persuaded your husband you want the latest jewelry from Zales this Christmas? The heart butt, or whatever they call that thing. Have you ever seen that? And if you believe God, you've been persuaded to believe God. You've been influenced by God to trust him and believe him. And that's what we want. We want to let God influence us to trust him, to have confidence in him. And all things are possible. All the wonderful things that God can do in a person's life are possible to him that believeth. Look at Mark 11. That means they're all possible for you. Mark 11, verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. You have to read the context to see what it's talking about. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, I've been to the mountain many times. What did he say? Have faith in God. And that's believe God. Believe God. For verily I say unto you, and this is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, saying this, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, pay. And the bigger thing you desire, pay more. Or work hard for it. What did he say? Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe. Believe, and you shall receive them. That you shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And you can do that. You can do that. When you pray, believe, have confidence in God. Allow God to persuade you that he'll come through for you. Allow God's word to influence your life, that he will come through for you, that he will help you. Like, he's always trying to talk us into this stuff, isn't he? Like, remember the manifestations? What was he saying? Like, you're screwed today. You're right. I'm not going to do anything for your situation. You ever say that? I can't help you, that's for sure. You're right in thinking that. I certainly can't help you, my little children. He's always trying to convince us of this, right? In the written word and the manifestations, when believers are together, they edify each other and build each other up. And you can have confidence in God, so you can have all things that God made available. This is from a chapter in one of the books, I think the Blue Book, the old Blue Book, if you know what that is, called The Law of Believing. And Dr. Rohr writes, there is power in believing. There is power in this world to which you and I, as born-again believers, have easy access. This power will enable us to overcome our shortcomings and our difficulties. We do have shortcomings, don't we? We do have difficulties, don't we? We are half crazy half the time, aren't we? And yet, it's believing that overcomes all that. It's believing that overcomes our shortcomings, our faults, our difficulties, our craziness. This power will enable us to overcome our shortcomings and our difficulties, bringing release and victory in our lives, simply trusting and having confidence in God. This power is from God. He is everywhere present, which means he is with you right now. The key involved is knowing and receiving his power, which is the basis on which the whole abundant life hinges. The law of believing brings phenomenal results to all those who apply and practice the principles. All things are possible to those that believe. And that's something you and I can do. It's even an adjective that describes us sometimes. You know what it is? Is that an adverb? Doesn't matter? Good. Galatians 3. It's a metamorphone. It's an extended simile that turns into a metaphor. Galatians 3. This starts pretty cool, the first verse. Oh, foolish Galatians. I guess you might say that once in a while to a believer. Or a whole bunch of them. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? What weren't they obeying? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you get born again by works or by believing what you heard? And that's the greatest miracle that could ever happen. Like Jerry taught, you're dead in trespasses and sin. You're a person of body and soul. Basically, every human being, when they're born, has to look forward to maybe 70 or 80 years of hardships and death. That's what Adam earned for us. And that's because you're a son or a daughter of Adam, that's what you had to look forward to. Maybe 100 years and then death, 100 hard years. And yet, when you get born again, you have an abundant life to look forward to, being more than a conqueror in every situation, and no end, eternal life. And how did you receive all that? By working for it? No, that was hard. If you want to call anything hard, that's a big accomplishment. And he asks them, this only, verse 2, what I learned of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith or believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? He's still on these guys. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by what? That believing what you hear. The miracles, the healings are by believing what you hear, by allowing yourself to be persuaded by God instead of some other source, allow God to convince you that he will come through for you, that he will take care of you, that he will meet your needs, that he will be there for you, and being sure of that and confident in that. Look at Hebrews 11. Does this microphone sound weird? Only to me? I hear my echo. But that's normal? I don't know. I'm not on stage every day. We have a stage at our dinner table, so for like an hour every day, I talk into a microphone to Carol and Leah. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, that confidence, that conviction that God in God, it is impossible to please him. You can do a lot of cool things and help a lot of people and go to a lot of fellowships and figure out how believers should act and act like that, but you're not going to please God if you don't have confidence in him, if you don't trust him. That's what really pleases him, because then he can help. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, if you're going to go to God, this is so simple. Let's say after this fellowship, you've never tried it before, you're going to ask God for something. Well, if you're going to go to God for something, you have to first what? You can't hope he's there, right? You have to believe he's really there, that he really exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And rewarder is a payer in full of wages, is a literal of that. And that means like he's at least as reliable as your boss. Okay. A lot of us go to work, don't we? Let's be honest. A lot of us go to work for the money. Is that true? No, I don't, but I know a lot of people do. I read a lot of articles and magazines, and that's what seems like a lot of people. The reason that they go to work, number one, just to hang out with the cool people there, but number two, why do they go to work? Well, what if they weren't sure they were ever going to get paid? So you do know how to believe. Because most of the time when you go to work, you're pretty sure after 2 weeks or 2 months or 100 months, what's going to happen? Well, do you think God pays? Well, that's what you got to do. And you already know how to do that. I work for Dean and Albert, so I hope they'll pay every... No, they always pay so far. But I worked in the contractor field for many years, and of course, you never knew, right? But most of us, if you work for some company, you know, well, you know, it's sort of hard today, but on Friday, I'll get my money. You think twice about it? Well, you have confidence in that. So we know how to believe. And so when you go to God, you believe that he is, that he exists, and that he'll do what he says, that he'll pay, right? That he'll do it, that he'll come through. Look at Genesis 18. And it's not hard. Genesis 18, verse 9. And they said unto him, these are angels, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Lo, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door that was behind him. Now, here's a little insight into this whole situation. Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. That's a good phrase, well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She didn't have eggs or whatever anymore, right? What's that? That sounds horrible. That's worse than normal from back there. So look at, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? I like to point out, they didn't promise pleasure, just a baby, but that's a different story. They just said she'd have a baby. But that was so ridiculous, because you know a woman can't have a baby after she's gone through menopause, right? So it's ridiculous. So she just laughed at that. She laughed. Come on. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am so? And this is the logic here. Is anything too hard for her? What do you need from God? Is there, maybe it just makes you laugh. Maybe you've needed the same thing for 40 years or something like that, or been putting up with something for 30 years or 25 years or 10 months. And it just makes you laugh to think that God could do it. But all things are possible to him that believeth. Because God, look at this, and the Lord's, and it says in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And this word hard means too wonderful. Can you think of anything that is too huge for God to do? Or it means difficult? Is there anything too difficult for God? Is there? And so when you go to God, you're not going to yourself or to your parents or to the strongest person you know or the richest person you know. You're going to God. And is there anything too hard for God? No. It's easy to have confidence in him. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcements? When do we get divorced? Whom I have put away. Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? In other words, where'd you go? Did we get divorced? Behold, for your iniquities you've sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Why isn't anyone looking for me? Why is anyone waiting for me to do something? Why is it when I come, there's nobody looking my way? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Is God's hand shortened? It doesn't mean, it, can God not do things anymore? Can God not do things for you because you're not 16 anymore? Or if you are 16, wait till you're my age and then think about that question. Write it down, put it in a time capsule, and then look it up, okay? And also look up a lot of other things your parents told you. Because you'll be shocked that you're telling your kids the same things. Is God's hand shortened? God's going, how come no one's looking my way? Did we get divorced? Can I not do stuff anymore? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. It's a figure like, at his rebuke, he can dry up a whole sea. And he can't help us. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there's no water and dieth for thirst. I just dry up a whole sea at my rebuke. And I can't help you. I clothe the heavens. Look at that moon tonight. It's a crescent moon. Look at the stars. I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their covering. Can God redeem? Yeah. And it's easy to trust God. Look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. Sometimes we have to lift up our eyes, get them off of ourselves and the people around us. And remember that we're believers, and that we believers because we have this great and wonderful God. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Who made all this stuff? Who made your body? Who made everything cool? Like the stars and colors and tastes. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? God never gets tired. He always is there. Fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He knows how to do things. He knows about you. You know, people are always seems to have problems with each other, but God knows what you go through. God knows what you need. God understands. He totally understands, and he knows how to help you. He said in Manifestations, he would not withhold any good thing from you. Not any good thing he wouldn't withhold from you. He giveth power to the faint. Sometimes if you feel faint, what'll God do for you? Give you power. And to them that have no might, he'll increase your strength. Do you think he could do that? Let's laugh about it. Seems so ridiculous, doesn't it? Maybe we should lift up our eyes. You know what Sarah named her son when she had him? Laughter. That's what Isaac means, laughter. Because she laughed when she heard she'd have a son. So she named her son Laughter. Do you think God can take care of anything in your life? Lift up your eyes. Even the youth shall faint. You know, if you watch them long enough, they'll fall over, you know that. And be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, that look with expectation and firmness, just constant, firm trust in God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Can God give you strength? Can God help you not to faint? Yeah. All things are possible to you. Look at Psalm 111. I'm cold now. How about you guys? Okay. Look at this. Would someone please close the door? It worked. Did you think someone would close the door?
Yes.
So you know how to believe. Or was it like, I think we're going to freeze to death before this is over? Psalm 111. Verse 1. Praise you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. God's works are great. He does great things. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. He's made really incredible. He does incredible things. The Lord is also what? Gracious and full of compassion. And gracious means he likes to bestow favors on people. You ever met anybody like that who just likes to do favors without a catch? Not like, I'll do a favor, but you owe me one later. He just likes to do kind things. Is that how you picture God? I used to picture God as an angry old man. Because I was raised a Lutheran. And I just thought every time God's looking at me, he's like, I'm very disappointed in you. How disappointed? Well, I'm going to send you to hell. That's how disappointed. That's pretty disappointing, young fellow. But can you think of the most compassionate person that you know, the most understanding? God is more compassionate than that, more understanding. He's like Barney. Who's more compassionate than Barney? Is he still around? Is he? You seen him? And he's very gracious and full of compassion. And that means he's tender. He's tender. Is that how you picture God? Tender? And which one is that? Oh. Daniela. It's okay if she's got tequila. Did you see that? You see how mean she was to Daniela? Well, this is the same thing. It's like parents toward their infant children. What a beatdown we just saw. Have you ever noticed how parents are with their infant children? Doesn't it make you sick? It's like, my son pooped today. Or like, this really happened. Is Daniel here? He came, Daniel, he's working. Who said that? Who said that? Oh, Jerry. Yeah, he's working. He works with us. He has a son named James. He really came in one day and said, James is starting to smile. I go, no. I said a bad word. Okay. And yet, you know, James doesn't really do anything for them, like clean the dishes or anything like that. Or they don't wake up in the morning and he's mopped the floor with his stomach or something like that. I mean, serious. And yet it's like, oh, James. And then his wife calls on the phone. Hello, dear. How's James? How's he feeling? Is he okay? You didn't drop him, did you? No, he doesn't say that. And I'm telling you this for a purpose, because that's how God is with you. Now, how do you think God is with you? I'm so disappointed in you, you six-month-old idiot. You know who's disappointed in you most of the time? Yourself. And you ain't God. You know who influences you the most of anybody in the world? Yourself. That's your biggest influence. The person who influences you the most, who you listen to the most, who convinces you of the most stuff is yourself. And if you're telling yourself all day that you're no good, or it's not going to happen, or you can't believe, or you're influencing yourself. You're talking yourself into it. That's not what God says. And yep, we do get critical of ourselves, but God, he's not stupid. He knows when we sin and stuff like that, but he loves us. And it says here, the Lord is gracious and full of tenderness, like parents toward their infant children. That is how God is with you. And you have every right to believe that, no matter what organization or denomination you're involved or whatever. You have every right to believe that God is that way with you, tender like that. And when you go to him, he's going to want to help you, and he has the ability to help you. Look at Exodus 15. Verse 26, you see how big that verse is? Go to the very end of it. This is what is called one of the redemptive names for God. One of the ways is that God relates to people, one of the things he does for people. 15:26, I hear it discussed. It is 15:26. What does it say? For I am the Lord that, he's a healer. One of the big things that God is for people is a healer. That's one of the names that he gives himself, Jehovah Raha or Rapha, God the healer. He's a healer. The way I was grow up, if you got sick, you went to a healer, you went to a doctor, right? My father actually went to Indian healers and stuff like that, but he thought that they would heal him. But you know who the biggest healer is? God. And we have every right to think of him as your healer, because he is a healer. God heals people. He heals people. Look at Psalm 103, I'm sorry. Not really. Sort of. Should I be? I don't know. Should I be sorry that I told you the wrong verse? I don't know. I'll think about it. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, all the benefits of God. And it names some of them, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I just want to say, as an aside, that if you hold grudges against people, that's like poison. You're just poisoning yourself. And, I see all of you guys in here, and we've all had really wonderful times and horrible times. Haven't we, some of us? You can't hold grudges against each other. God has forgiven us all, hasn't he? you can't be around people without rubbing them the wrong way sometimes, can you? I've tried it for like a half an hour. No, try to be nice. Don't hold a grudge. God has forgiven you and he forgives everybody else. That's just poison. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth what? God is a healer. And it says he'll heal all thy diseases. Should we laugh at that? It's just not possible. Psalm 107. Verse 15. This is kind of God's, this is God's word. This is what God says about some things. Can you imagine God saying this in verse 15? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God would sure love it if sometimes he'd hear believers talk about how good he was instead of how someone hurt their feelings or something like that or whatever. How good God is. Or, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, the wonderful things that God does for people. He'd love to hear about that sometimes. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. If people are bound in, he breaks their prisons, he breaks the chains. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. People make mistakes. They, you know, turn against God or go against God, and they get afflicted. God's not the cause of it, but they, you know, get themselves into trouble. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They're vegetarians, and they draw near unto the gates of death. They draw near to death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their troubles, and he what? He saveth them. He saves them. God is a healer. God is the God of salvation. God helps people. And even if people make a lot of mistakes or whatever and they get into trouble, if they cry out to God, what will God do? He saves them. Then they cry out, verse 19, unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from the destructions. At his word, he can dry up a sea, it said. At his word, can he heal somebody? Yeah, he's a healer. That's one of his characteristics, a tender, loving healer who totally understands what goes on. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He sure would like to hear that sometimes. Sometimes we get together and just talk about what everyone did to them. Well, where's God? Psalm 147. Gonna have a cookie break? Let's feed each other cookies. That's kind of like the massage thing, if you feed each other a cookie. Highly trained cookie specialists. They know how to feed people cookies really well. Oh, look, it's happening right now. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praises comely. That's sort of a happy cry there. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He gathers together the outcasts. Look at this. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And broken in heart is discouraged. A person who's discouraged. So God is such a healer that even if you're discouraged right now or, you know, down in the mouth or don't think there's anything that can be done for you and, you know, there's nobody that could help you or anything like that, God can heal you of that. God can heal your discouragement. All things are possible to you. All the things that God can do are possible for you because you can believe. Look at Deuteronomy 34. Here's an example of what God can do. This is a funny one. Deuteronomy 34. What does this mean? I don't know. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. So how old was he? 120. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What does that mean? Are you there? Am I just reading out of my own private Bible? What happened? I didn't say? Uh-oh. Where am I? No, I mean, what town? Is this the old folks? No, never mind. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. I guess he kept him sharp until the day he died. I'm just reading because that's available, I guess. God could do that. Look at Psalm 105. Verse 37, talking about Israel. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. There was 2.5, I don't know, some of you guys know about it, 2 to 2.5 million people, all healthy. And they were worse buggers than you. It's just stuff God could do, just stuff that God has done. Psalm 1. Verse 1, it says, blessed is the man, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's just delighted in God's word, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This word meditate could mean, it's more commonly translated to speak to yourself. It says that a guy who will tell himself the word is blessed. You are the biggest influence in your life. What have you been telling yourself? What have you been telling yourself about people? What have you been telling yourself about your own life? About what you can't have? You're the biggest influence. And if you tell yourself something long enough, you'll believe it. Because you believe what you allow to influence you the most. That's what you get convinced of. And this person tells himself God's word. Like, and you know, not maybe in a super religious way, like every second of every day quoting Luke 3:57, but how about, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Or, I'm just like a kid to God. God is really tender with me. Or, God is really generous with me. God is really kind with me. God is really powerful with me. Over and over and over again. Because your mind isn't like some thought gourmet. It pretty much just runs anything that comes by through there. And the stuff that goes by the most is what you believe. And the most influential voice that you'll ever hear is your own voice. Nobody cares about me. You know, you can convince yourself of that. People can, you know, hug you and tell you they love them, be there for you, and you'll be convinced that nobody cares about you. Isn't that amazing that you can convince yourself of stuff? I'm alone in this world. You ever told yourself that? Really? You can believe that? I'll never fall in love. Really? Well, tell yourself what about God. Tell yourself the word. That's what this person does. And it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth will suck. So, beautiful, beautiful, prospering tree, and that's what God wants for you and me. So I would say one cool thing you can do is just tell yourself the word. You know, tell yourself, you don't have to speak to yourself in King James English necessarily. Thou, Joe, thou shalt prosper and reign. But like if you get in a hard situation, could you say, I'm more than a conqueror? And then go, if I didn't have nothing to conk, I couldn't be a conqueror. Wouldn't that be better than going, why is life sucking again? Nothing works out for me. What are you going to tell yourself? I want the water, I want the water, I want the water, I want the water. Sounds like us. I want the water, I want the water. So tell yourself the word. Be a good influence on yourself, Johnny, okay? Be a good peer. Luke 8. Remember, it's all possible for you. All the good things that God can do. By the way, that man got the deliverance too for his child. Luke 8, 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Can you imagine 12 years trying to get healed of something? Going to all these doctors? Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" You're in a huge crowd. You're in Times Square, Christmas Eve. A lot of people are touching you. "Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that power is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. What did she think? What was she telling herself? Read the other records about this. She was saying, if I could touch his garment, I'll be healed, because he's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Your confidence, what you were sure of. Luke 11, that's a medium cry. What are you smiling about, Richard? You're going to know what that's all about. Richard's up here laughing. Let's see him, what he's doing next year at this time. You're here now. You're going to be in the pit next year. Little of this, a little of that, and you get a little of that. Luke 11. Verse 5. And he said to them, this is a parable, which is an extended metaphor assembly, "Which of you shall have a friend?" That's what I ask myself all the time. No. But do I have friends? Yes. I don't believe it. I don't believe it, though. Okay. He said, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight?" And that was much later than our midnight, with no electricity and stuff like that. And say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Which one of you are going to go and wake up your friend in the middle of the night and say, "Give me 3 pieces of bread? And he from within shall answer and say, "Trouble me not." This is a little strange, this next little part. "The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as needed." And importunity means shamelessness or want of modesty or impudence. And the point of this parable is just ask. Don't be ashamed to ask. You know, tell yourself the word. And if you need help, if you need healing, ask. I'm the kind of person that just thinks if I can be really good all the time, God will notice and just do stuff for me. I don't have to ask. Or that's kind of how I was growing up. Maybe not with God. But just ask. Even if you're a rascal, just ask. Don't be ashamed. Ask. And it's not, you can spend your whole life trying to be even God's friend, trying to earn cool stuff from him. But that's not why God will do stuff for you. He'll do it because you ask. He'll do it because you asked. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Don't spend your whole life just trying to win someone's friendship or just be a goody-two-shoes. That's a good thing to do, really. When it comes to getting things from God, getting healed, or getting what you need, just ask. Just ask. And if you need help from someone else, if you need to be ministered to or for someone to pray for you, don't be ashamed to ask. God won't do it because he's your friend. He is your friend. He's your wonderful Father. He'll do it because you asked. You understand that? He does love you. He's so tender with you, but just because you asked. Luke 18. Why did that get the bread? Not because they were friends, because he asked. That was the point. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and what? When you ask, don't faint. And that means don't give up. Many times people don't get answers to prayer because they give up. Just keep knowing God will come through. That's like, you know, people say stand on the word. Part of standing on the word is refusing to doubt. Refusing to doubt God. Refusing to second guess what God's word says. Just keep knowing God will come through for you. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. So, you know, not every part of this parable is about God, of course. God's not like a mean judge or anything like that. But the lady didn't get results right away. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this poor widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she what? Well, God doesn't think like that. The point is to be like the lady who just keeps asking, right? Keeps coming to God. And that's a cool parable too. And he spake a parable, verse 1, unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Just keep praying. Keep praying. We were somewhere when Bob Chatton read a record, or Michael Gilmer, where it took, like, how long to get an answer to prayer? It's in one of those cool books, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Was anyone there? Was it you, Bob? It was, thank you for being there. They prayed for something, and how long did it take? Would you await 6 months and still think God was coming through? He's not a television or a microwave. We just don't understand everything that has to be done sometimes in order to come through. We just don't know all the details. We couldn't. We can't. It's, you know, it's spiritual and stuff like that. Just don't faint. Keep praying and don't faint. All right? Psalm 46. Like I said, if you don't remember anything else from this teaching, remember that all things are possible. Psalm 46, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. That's the Lord with all of his power, everything he can do. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God of Jacob refers to, you could say, the God of rascals. It's the God who met Jacob when he had nothing and deserved nothing. Jacob wasn't, if you read the Bible, he was a rascal. He did wacky stuff his whole life. And when God met him, he had nothing. He was on the run from his brother, and he deserved nothing. He didn't deserve anything. And God promised him everything and kept all of his promises. That's why it says the God of Jacob, the God who takes care of rascals like you and me, the God of grace. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, just consider that. That's what it means. Consider that. That the God of hosts with all his power is with you, and the God of rascals is your refuge. Consider that. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still. And that means let go. Quit worrying about it. Let it go. Quit chewing on it. And know that I am God. He's God. He's the God of power. He's the God of compassion. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Just let him work. Let him do stuff. And stand on the word. Don't dishonor God by doubting him. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. All right.